Please turn with me now in your Bibles to the book of 1 Peter and chapter 3. We'll be looking at 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, and just part of that verse in our sermon this morning. But for context, I'll read verses 8 through 17 of 1 Peter and chapter 3. Now let us pray and ask God to bless this reading and preaching of His Word. Let us pray. God, we come and ask You now to give us, by Your Spirit, attentive ears to hear Your Word. Give me the words to speak that as I bring out those treasures that You have deposited in Your Word, they would be used mightily of You by Your Spirit in the hearts of these people. Oh God, may You receive the glory in all of this. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So now hear God's Word from 1 Peter chapter 3, beginning in verse 8. Finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Love as brothers. Be tender-hearted. Be courteous. Not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing. Knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. For he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. And who is he who will harm you if you become followers of what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed. And do not be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed. For it is better, if it is the will of God, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. Thus far, the reading of God's holy word. Now, this is the second sermon in a series that I've entitled Remaining Christian in a Non-Christian Culture. Because as we look around, we see that our culture is sliding. But that was the case in the days in which Peter wrote to the church. He's writing to a church that is going to and is living in the midst of a culture that is going to oppose them. These are individuals who have gone out. In fact, if we look at 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 1, he writes to the pilgrims of the dispersion. They've gone out. They've spread out because of persecution. But persecution is going to come to them. It's going to find them. The Jews have been persecuting the church, but the Romans are going to start persecuting the church. And last week we looked at that command that is given, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. That is the first thing that we must do. Peter says that is the important step. If you are going to suffer for righteousness' sake and going to be blessed, this is in verse 14, and you're not going to be afraid of their threats nor be troubled, then you must sanctify. Set apart the Lord God in your hearts. In other words, you must make the Lord Jesus Christ the priority in your life. He must be your primary desire, your primary delight, the one to whom you give your primary devotion. That's the main verb in verse 15, and the only command. In fact, in the Greek, the word be before ready is added in the English, not there in the Greek. The word give is added. In other words, sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. And then it just goes on, always ready. to speak to everyone who asks you a reason. When you sanctify the Lord, then that is the process, that begins the process then of being ready to give that answer. And notice what Peter says that believers are to do. They're to be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you. The hope. Now, the word hope is an interesting word because we use it in many different ways. We often use it to express an unfulfilled future desire. For example, if I were to say, I hope that it does not rain tomorrow. What am I saying? I'm saying that I don't want it to rain tomorrow. I'm saying that I would prefer that it remains sunny tomorrow. What I'm not saying is that I know for certain that it is not going to rain tomorrow. I am expressing a wish, a desire, and I might be disappointed. It may rain tomorrow. But if I had a time machine and I was able to go to tomorrow, and I was able to spend the day looking at the weather, and I did not see one drop of rain, that would be a different story, wouldn't it? That would be a different story. I would know for certain that it was not going to rain. I think that's a better picture of Christian hope. When we use the word hope as Christians, it is not simply a wish. We don't just wish that that will happen. And we will never be disappointed. That's what Paul says in Romans chapter 5, verse 5. Hope, that is this kind of hope, never disappoints. Never disappoints us. It's that hope that the author of Hebrews in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23, allows us to hold fast to our confession without wavering, without moving, without being moved to one side or the other. Now, we don't have a time machine, do we? But we have something much better. We have God. God who created time. God who is outside of time. God who not only knows the future, but ordains the future. And He tells us why we should have hope. He has told us what is going to happen. He never lies. You see, Christian hope is not based upon what we wish would happen. Christian hope is not based upon what we feel might happen, but Christian hope is based upon what we know will happen. It's based upon what we know will happen because God has said it will happen. Do you have that hope? Do you have true Christian hope? Are you hoping, as in wishing, that the end will turn out right, or do you know that it will? I want you to have that hope. That's the hope that is offered by the gospel. But if you have that hope, do you know why? And more importantly, can you tell someone else why? Can you give a reason for your hope? Peter knew that the people that he is writing to, people who are going to face persecution, needed to have this hope and needed to be able to tell others about it because they were going to be asked. People were going to see them suffering for Christ and they were going to be asked, what are you doing? What is enabling you to suffer in this way? Why do you have hope? That's the same question that we ought to be asked today, and I hope we are. What I want you to know is that our Christian hope is a reasonable hope. And as a reasonable hope, it is a hope that we must share with others. Christian hope is a reasonable hope that we must share with others. And the first thing I want to look at is that our Christian hope is a hope that is always based on facts. It's based on facts. Give a reason for the hope that is in you. Give a reason. Before you can share what you know, you have to know what you're going to share, right? Now, if you were to ask me to stand up in front of a group of people and share about the inner workings of an automobile, I would not be willing to do that. Why? Because I don't know about the inner workings of an automobile. I know how to drive one. and a few other things. I don't know the facts, so I can't speak to them. Some of you do know a lot, and you'd be able to speak to them. What's the difference between what you know and what I know? Well, you've probably studied it. You've thought about it. You've had experience with it. That's what we as Christians need to have. We need to know the facts of our faith. Now, where are these facts found? Where are the facts of Christianity found? In one place. They're found in the Word of God, the Bible. That's where the facts of Christianity are found. And it is true. It is the Word of God. Now, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the living Word, and that's important. But we must never separate the written Word from the living Word. If you separate the written Word from the living Word, we run into all kinds of problems. For instance, if you just have the written Word, and you don't have the living Word giving power to it, you're going to run into an intellectual Christianity devoid of any power, devoid of love. But the opposite is true. If we seek to come to the living Word, the Lord Jesus Christ, apart from the written Word, we will drift off into a feelings-based Christianity that has no basis in truth. In other words, if we do either of these things, if we separate the written Word from the living Word, or the living Word, the Lord Jesus Christ, from the written Word, we remove all hope from Christianity. All hope is removed from Christianity. But here's the reality. If you have sanctified the Lord God in your hearts, if you have done that, if God is working in you, then what? Guess what will be true of you? You will love the Word. You will love the Word. If the living Word, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the most important person in your life, then His Word will be important to you as well. There's no such thing as a Christian who doesn't love the Word of God. There's no such thing as a Christian who does not want to learn more about their Savior. The Word will be important to you. You will want to know it, and you will learn it. But as you do so, something else will be true of you. You will be ready with the facts. You will be armed with the facts, but you will become confident of those facts. Notice what Peter says here. He says that you will give a reason for the hope that is in you. So I was translating this from the Greek. I love it. The word order is the in you hope. The in you hope. This is the hope that is in you as a Christian. Not only in your mind, but it has permeated your heart and your whole life. You live upon this truth. The truth is settled, as it were, in your life. It is an in-you hope. And the more that this hope is settled in your heart, the more confidence you will have in sharing it with others. Look with me at Luke chapter 6, verse 45. It was preached in this and through this recently. Luke chapter 6. In verse 45, Jesus is speaking about the heart. He says this, "A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks." Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. In other words, the more hope that you have in your heart, the more words of hope will come out of your mouth. You will speak in hope. That's the only way that you're going to be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you. The only way that you are going to be ready is if you have stored up that hope in your heart. You've stored it up in your heart. That's why preaching is so crucial in the life of the church. That's why personal Bible study is so crucial in the life of the church and in the life of a Christian. It's not simply to gain more knowledge, but it is so that your hope will build and that you will be able, out of a heart that is changed, to speak to others. of that hope. And you're not going to grow in the hope of the Christian faith unless and until you are growing in knowledge of who Christ is. And that knowledge can only be found through His Word. And so we see then that our Christian hope is always based upon facts. And this should give you a great confidence when speaking with anyone. See, the reality is that the Christian message is not only true, it is absolute truth. It is not only the most reasonable explanation for everything, but it is the only reasonable explanation for anything. That's it. It's the only reasonable explanation for anything. And when you understand that, that should give you a boldness in speaking to others. Think about it. The facts are on your side. All you have to do is bring and present the facts. Leave the conviction in the heart up to God. Bring the facts to bear on the matter. Speak the truth and let God work that truth into the heart. But we must speak. It's not enough simply to know and simply to study and simply to have that hope in our own hearts, but we must speak that hope to others because our Christian hope is always worth sharing. It's always worth sharing. So Peter brings out here, always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you. We are to share our hope with those who ask. With those who ask. Now, it says here, everyone who asks, but I want to give this caveat. Because the Bible also says this in Matthew chapter 7, verse 6, that we are not to give to dogs what is sacred. We are not to cast pearls before pigs. Now what is being said there is that if someone is coming to you and they are simply asking you about the Christian faith because they want to get in an argument, because they just want to have a debate. They're not really interested in learning about the hope. They don't want the hope. They want to tear down Christ. Well, you'd be best off spending your time somewhere else. That's not what this passage is talking about. But this passage is talking about those who really come and really want to know. Those who have seen you living the Christian life. Those who have seen you go through hard times and come out on the other end smiling. And they say, why? How? What happened? I really want to know. Why do you have hope? In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 4, here's what Peter says of those who are going to see these believers. In regard to these, those who do those things that the Gentiles do in verse 3, walking in lewdness, lust, drunkenness, revelries, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries, in regard to these, they think it's strange that you do not run with them in the same flood of dissipation, speaking evil of you. People are going to think you are weird. And that's okay, because you are different. But then they're going to come by God's grace and ask and want to know, why are you different? Why are you different? So the assumption here, if we are told to be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks, is that people are going to ask us. People are going to ask us. I wonder, has anyone ever asked you about your faith? Has anyone ever come up to you and said, there's something different about you? You're not like the rest of us. Tell me more about your faith. Has anyone ever asked you, what makes you such a hopeful person? Why doesn't life get you down like it gets me down? If not, why? Shouldn't that happen? Shouldn't we have people beating down our door, getting lined up to ask us about the hope that we have? We should. But maybe it's because we're not really demonstrating that hope outwardly. That people aren't asking. And we ought to do that. And here, the primary context here is to those outside the church. But as I thought about this passage, it's not simply those outside the church that we need to give hope. You see, we need to give hope to one another. Because there are going to be times in your life as a Christian where you may have a lot of hope. You may be on a hope high, so to speak, but somebody else may be going through a very difficult time. You need to speak hope into their life. You need to remind them of the truth of God's Word and who He is. Parents, your children ought to be asking you questions. Dad, why is it that you don't do what Johnny's dad down the street does? Well, let me tell you, son. Mom, why is it that you don't respond in the way that I see these other people responding to these things that are being done? Well, let me tell you, daughter. Let me give you the answer, the reason for the hope that is within me. Because it's the same hope that you need to be in you. Parents, be prepared to give your children answers because it is food for their soul. Be prepared. And how do we share our faith? How do we share our hope? Well, we do so by speaking out. Be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you for a reason. To speak out. One commentator I read put it this way. For the Christian faith, a strong offense is the best defense. Indeed, it is the only defense. I think far too often, as Christians, we can end up going into turtle mode. We get in the shell and we think we just have to defend, and it turns us into somewhat hardened defenders. Now, I'm not saying that we ought not to defend the truth where it is challenged. But the best way to defend is to go out with this offense. It's a preemptive strike of living before the world with hope and speaking hope to the world. And you may have heard this verse, 1 Peter 3:15, quoted in support of apologetics, and it's true that the word that it's translated a defense is in the Greek apologia, where we get our English word apologetics. But I think it's a mistake to simply relegate this verse to apologetics. Yes, we need to study that. But this verse is for all Christians. It's not simply for those who are trained in debate or trained in regurgitating all of the facts that are necessary to have an intellectual dialogue. No, this is a text for every Christian. This is a text for every Christian, from the Christian who is here, who is able to speak, who is maybe 3 years old, to the Christian who is still able to speak and is much older. This is a text for you. Text for you. In fact, when you think about it, and as I thought about this, when we want to bring others by God's grace to Christ, we know it's His work, but He calls us to go out and to be used as instruments in His hand. When we do that, it's rarely by simply winning a debate. Reflect upon your own life. I reflect on mine. It's not because somebody came and we had an intellectual debate, and at the end of it I said, well, you won the argument, you're right. No, it was because someone befriended me, spoke the truth and the hope, and modeled that hope in their life, that it drew me to the God of all hope, the Lord Jesus Christ. So we need to be intellectual in our faith, but that is not simply all. We need to speak the truth in love. But we need to know what to say. In order to speak, you have to know what to say. And let me put it to you this way. You do not have to be trained in logic. You do not have to be trained in philosophy. You do not have to be trained into debate to speak words of hope to another person. Perhaps you're thinking, this is just not something I could do. I am not equipped to do this. Well, I'm sorry, but you are, if you sanctify the Lord in your heart. You're all ready to give a reason because you have that hope in you. But here are the qualifications. Let's see if you meet the qualifications for speaking. First qualification, you need the hope in you. You need the hope in you. You need to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to live by the Word of God. And then you need to be able to say this. The first qualification, you need to have the hope in you. The second qualification is you need to be able to say this. Let me show you what the Bible says. And you need to be able to open it and read it. Those are the qualifications. You need to have the hope in you, and you need to be able to say, let me show you what the Bible says. And then you need to present it to people. That's what Peter is instructing the believers who are going to face great persecution to do. Once they have sanctified the Lord God in their hearts, they are ready to give that defense to everyone who in sincerity asks them for that reason. Because the Christian faith is a reasonable faith. It is a reasonable hope. It is based on facts. It is not just wishful thinking. It is not pie in the sky thinking. And Christian hope is not even just a strong desire. Maybe if I hope more, I will get it. But Christian hope is based upon the facts that God Himself, who never lies, has given us in His Word. That's what Christian hope is based upon. And as Christians, we can have a great confidence, can't we? As we speak out. Because we have the best reasons in the world, don't we? God has spoken. God has promised these things. God never lies. God not only knows the future, but He has ordained the future, and He has revealed what we need to know about the future in His Word. That's the foundation of our hope. But we must speak to others of that hope. I hope you have that hope. Okay, I use the word there in two different ways. But I want you to have this hope. Because it is available to all who come to the Lord Jesus Christ. God is not going to turn anyone away. You repent of your sins and you turn to Him. He promises that He will forgive you of your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Do you have this hope? Are you growing in this hope? Do you know why you have this hope? Do you need to learn more? Do you need to study more and determine why it is that you have this hope? So there are two things that are really necessary. You need to know, and then you need to go. You need to know what you believe, why you have this hope, and you need to go and tell others about it. It's really very simple, isn't it? Know what you believe, know the ground of your hope, know the living Word as revealed in the written Word, and then go and tell other people about it. Now perhaps right now you're thinking, okay, I agree with this, but I'm in the no stage. In fact, I'm at the very beginning of the no stage. Well, that's fine. Grow in your knowledge. Find a mature Christian. And say, I want to learn more so I can be one who speaks hope to other people. But if you've been a Christian for a while, if you are that mature Christian, perhaps you are in and well beyond the know and still growing, but you need to go. You have a hope, but you're not showing it like you should. If that's you, pray for opportunities, because God will give them. God, give me opportunities to live before people and to show them the hope that is in me, to give this reason for it, to be ready for everyone who asks, and to know the difference between those who are asking out of sincerity and those who are simply picking a fight. And then don't be afraid to speak out. The facts are on your side. You cannot lose when you speak the truth of God's Word. And in doing so, here's what you'll be doing. You'll be giving others the very hope that you have received. And what a gift that is. Amen. Let us pray. Our God, we thank You for the hope that is in us, a hope that is not based upon wishful thinking, but is based upon the unchanging Word of God. And now work in us this hope in a greater way, and send us forth from this place as those who are proclaimers of the hope that is in us to a world that is increasingly without hope. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.